Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a few bright minds in our world, I think sometimes of people like Elon Musk or Jordan Peterson, or these people that their brains are running like miles and miles faster than ours. And they say something and you hear them and they're just like, what did you say? What are you even talking about? And you know, maybe you might have to hear it a few times, but it's kind of up here and we're down here. Maybe you can think about it as maybe there was someone who was one of your elders and they were trying to give you pieces of life wisdom, but you're maybe a little too young, too immature, and they're talking about what you're going to face in life and you're just not even thinking about that. You're just thinking about school and sports, and they're trying to give you these pieces of wisdom that just kind of goes over your head. Maybe you've been in that situation too, of trying to share that wisdom and just people don't seem to get it. I think that's kind of what we find in our text today when Jesus is in this point of talking about the bread of life. Why do I say that? Because he's at a point of great popularity. He had just fed the 5,000. People are coming to him to be healed. And he's just getting crowds and crowds of people. But as we spoke about, the video talked about this morning, and as he begins to talk about the bread of life, people begin to struggle and say, what are you talking about? That we'll see as the lessons go on. We won't see it quite in our lesson today, but they're troubled by it. And they're confused, and it says even disciples, people begin to leave because it's a hard teaching. When we look at this, then we're going to see, why is it important that Jesus talks about this? Why does he talk about the bread of life? Because we need to see where our true satisfaction comes. That Jesus is the bread of life, and he gives us what we really need. The problem, though, is that we, the people of Jesus' time and people of this world, we're often so focused on the wrong thing. That's what Jesus shows them as we begin our lesson. We see that the context of where things are. Jesus had fed the 5,000, and then last week you heard about how Jesus was walking on the water. He calmed the storm, and it was kind of a frightful thing for the disciples, but Jesus again showed his power. Now we see that the crowd realizes that Jesus and his disciples aren't there. And so they got into boats and went to the other side. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they said, Rabbi, how'd you get here? Notice then what Jesus responds. Does he answer their question? Instead, he says this, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Jesus does often what he does, where people ask him a question and he gets to the heart of the issue. They're saying, how'd you get here? But he's more focused on why are they following him? Why are they seeking after him? And he says that it's not just that they saw the signs, but they had their fill. We're going to see that the people want to make him their bread king. They, like we, are people and creatures of comfort. You think that's true? That we need the comforts of this life and we struggle so hard when we don't have them? I think of just a typical thing. I heard this recently that some of the comforts that we have in this life that we neglect to think of how good we have it compared to all the generations of the world before us. Just think of, what is it, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, how many people had just great running plumbing to have hot showers. Are there some of you who grew up without hot showers? And to think about how that's just a normal thing for us. I remember my first year in China, I shared one bathroom with four teachers, and we had one hot shower, and it had just that little water heater. And if you were the second person, you probably didn't get a hot shower. Or if you like camping, that's one of the things you maybe miss, right, is a hot shower. The comforts that we neglect to cherish because we're kind of privileged. I think about even we just traveled to Virginia and how easy it is to travel to get your directions now because of GPS. You just put the location in on your GPS and there's construction and it leads you around. Some of you, I still remember when we had to print off the MapQuest directions, and if they got out of order or you lost the page, what do you do? Or if you go back way back when you had to have a huge pull-out map, and if you folded it the wrong way, then it had the holes in it and so forth, and you're trying to, passengers looking at this and you're driving. We have all these comforts that we kind of neglect to see that we have now, and we like to be comfortable. We like all the things that make easy life and life easy, and we avoid the difficult things. But as we look at the earthly things, God wants us to focus on something more. As he speaks to the people, he says, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." Even though we're creatures of comfort, it's important to remember that we're more than flesh and blood. We like to be warm. We like all the comforts of this world, but it's not just all about that. It's not about the flesh and blood, the physical things and the comforts of this world. It's great to have things go well in this life, but that's not everything. We're spiritual. And there's more to this world than just living and being comfortable and having everything go well, even just being healthy. We are spiritual creatures, eternal creatures. And so Jesus is helping the people of his time to focus on that, and he wants us to focus on that as well. It's so easy to get caught up in the physical things and to ignore the spiritual, to think that just everything in life is going to go easy and you might not have to think about heaven. There's so many people that go throughout life and, well, finally, maybe at the end of life, when maybe they're getting sick, they start to think spiritually, but are they so far from God that that's going to be difficult? Or sometimes we think our life is going to be so long, but God cuts that life short. So it's easy for us to think about the here and now, but we need to see there's more, a spiritual side, an eternal side. And so Jesus wants us to focus on more, and he gives them a warning about why they're seeking him. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." Here he's giving two reasons that people seek Jesus that are not exactly the best reasons. It says people seek Jesus for signs and satisfaction. Right? Jesus, what more can you do for us? Can you do this thing? Can you heal this thing? Do people today still do that? Jesus, give me this sign and then I'll believe. Or you'll strengthen my faith, or I'll have hope if you just show me this thing or do this thing in my life. What's so interesting about this is Jesus had just done a sign. And they're still seeking signs. We're going to see that in just a second, right? Where it says that they're looking for more. Where it says they asked him, "What sign will you give me that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." What are they saying and doing? He had just fed 5,000 people from just a little child's meal. An amazing miracle. And they're like, you know what Moses did? Moses gave the Israelites food every day, day after day. He fed so many people, but it came every day. Can't you do that? This was nice, but we would like something more. He corrects them and says it's not Moses who actually did it, but God who gave them bread. And so we see when you want signs, you want more and more. I heard this at the worship conference this week, that whatever brings people into church or into contact with God is kind of what they want more of. If it's signs, maybe they want more signs. But the second thing he says that people were seeking Jesus for is satisfaction. He says, it's not the signs you're looking for, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. When it talks about fill here, it's using a word that's used for animals eating food, often like pigs. And if you've seen pigs eat, the fair's coming up, right? Out of pigs eat, they just eat so much. They don't stop. And what I found interesting as you read the Old Testament lesson, when they talk about the manna, there's instructions, and each person had to take just a little bit, like just enough. It wasn't to take so much, and if they took too much, it spoiled. And here he's saying, it seems at the feeding of the 5,000, we hear about how everyone had enough, and there was more left over. It seems like they had their fill. They want to be so satisfied. I think the truth is for us that not only are we creatures of comfort, but we need that satisfaction. We need to have more and more. The same idea of the signs, whatever you like as signs, you always need more. When you have comfort, don't you need more and more? More stuff, always needing to top other people to be more and more comfortable. The question is, do we look to Jesus in the same way? Do we look for him for signs and just for flesh and blood satisfaction? I think there's truth that we do often. To see him as a vending machine and say, well, God, can you give me this? And maybe we make it even transactional. I'll do this, God, if you give me this. Or if you give me this, God, then I'll do this. But that's not how God is. Notice, as we hear what he talks about, it says when the people are asking him to show a sign, he says, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus here is saying he's so much more than just this vending machine to give us what we want in life, to make us feel comfortable. What is his purpose? He is going to be the bread of life. In verse 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This is a gift. Jesus is giving something that is eternal and exponentially better than we could ever imagine. He fulfills our eternal needs exponentially. What does that mean? Well, the people are saying, can you give us bread? And can you give us bread, right? We want you to be the one who feeds us, our people. Notice what he says about what the bread of life is. That it comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Not just a people. Not just for a meal or two. But it gives life. Spiritual life and hope for the world. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's what it's saying. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. A true spiritual peace. True spiritual life, now and forever. Notice, though, how this happened. Before this, when he's talking about the work for what they want to do, he says, you shouldn't work for the food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. The people say, what must we do to get this work? Or what must we do the works God requires? Notice that they're like, yeah, you know, this is interesting. Tell us how this happens. He says, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. The work he requires, it's not to make your way up into heaven, to compare ourselves with other people, but to believe. It's this gift of connecting us to Jesus and his work for us. So it's this free gift. This free gift of forgiveness that God gives us. Because it's not really a work, because God is working that faith in us. It's so much greater than anything that we could do. And notice, they kind of just pass over it. They said, well, yeah, okay, now show us the sign. But it's all about that believing. Well, why is it all about that believing? Well, this free gift of Jesus means life or death. We talk about Jesus being the bread of life, but why use the idea of the bread of life? Well, we need to eat. We need to be fed. We know that, right? If you go today, tomorrow, several days, a week without food, what happens? You perish. You die. You can't make it without food. We know that on the physical side, but what about the spiritual side? Just like we said, we could be so focused on the flesh and blood. Just like the people of Jesus' time, as they said, just give us this food. Give us more food. We cannot see our need for repentance and forgiveness and to see Jesus as our Savior. That he came for something so much greater than we could ever imagine. What does that look like? C.S. Lewis, famous author, said this in his book, The Weight of Glory. He talks about that our desires, our wants, it's not that we have such great high desires and wants that God is like, oh, you guys are really reaching up to me. He says this, in fact, that our desires are not too strong, but they're too weak. C.S. Lewis describes it this way. It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition with infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. God's saying, there's so many things in this world. There's a lot of pleasures. There's a lot of comfort. But look to Christ, not as one to give us those comforts and pleasures, but to give us true eternal peace and forgiveness. There's a lot of things to look at in this world. A lot of fears, a lot of worries, a lot of doubts. And some people continue to boil Christianity down to be good and you go to heaven. If you're not good, you go to hell. But that's not it. Jesus tells us that it's about belief. And believing in Jesus, the bread of life, who gives life to the world. So the message here is not to say don't work, right? He says don't work for food that spoils. Well, God wants us to work. But God wants our priorities in the right place. to be focused on the spiritual and the eternal. To look to God as one who loves us and has sent his son to die for the whole world. So know that it's true for you, that God loves you so much to give you this bread of life that will nourish you into eternal life and give you a satisfaction that far outweighs any pleasures in this world. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ.